You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, with the last item of the day, news editor Lillian has stepped in with a brilliant story here. The Hikarangi Group is made up of a charitable trust and the charitable group that is owned by the trust. The company is an enabling tool to get different projects off the ground. There is an investment company that works as a mechanism for its people and supporters. Hikarangi Enterprises is one of those leveraging tools and can partner with other entities such as whānau-based companies or external stakeholders to the local area in order to bring a project to life. Panapa Eho is an executive director of the group and spoke recently at Splore about the Hikarangi Cannabis Company, a medical cannabis venture based in Ruatoria. Lillian Hanley caught up with Panapa afterwards and started by asking how the Hikarangi Group came about.
In 2015, there was a local hapū trust that was focused on environmental and social factors for well-being within the community. There was an understanding there was a need for economic development to be focused on, but it couldn't be done within the constructs of whānau, hapū or iwi organisations because of the politics that exist in those. So we had a hui, put out the pānui, about 20 people turned up that were interested in economic development. The second hui we had 12, the third hui we had 15, and they became the directors of Hikarangi Enterprises. Now, what Hikarangi Enterprises was set up for was for job creation and sustainable economic development. So how do we increase? The aim is to increase the well-being of our people by increasing the household income. And so that's in essence what Hikarangi Enterprises was focused on. The projects that we look at have to increase the well-being of the land and increase the well-being of the people. So, you're not about to see us put in standard issue kiwi fruit vines or orchards because of the amount of sprays and things that are used. All about economic development and jobs for our people at home that look after the land and the people.
So that's quite different to many other enterprise groups throughout Aotearoa. Is this the sort of first of its kind?
Depending on how broad you look, there's probably other crew like CBEC up north. They've got a very, very good social enterprise model and they've been doing it for quite a while, and they have a number of different enterprises that they do. But they're very unique to up north. I don't think anybody's doing things the way that we are, because the things that we're doing are specifically or vernacular to our needs and our area. But I think there are very good examples, with CBEC being one of them, that where there's people that are using a similar type model to progress the opportunities for their people.
Why do you think the government doesn't? I mean, not saying that they don't, but in the sense of why don't we look at funding more of these sorts of groups that are specific to certain areas and have, you know, iwi-based models in terms of, you know, being the caretakers of that?
Yeah, I guess there's a couple of things there. One is that we're not iwi-based. We're people-based. So we don't sit under an iwi, or we don't sit under a hapū, or even under a whānau. What we are is a collective of the people from here that are doing things for ourselves. So we don't sit under the mantle of a hapū or iwi, but we have representatives from across the hapū or from across whānau within our area that are all people that are focused on the well-being of our people. So that's just the first part of it. The second part is that what we're doing isn't business as usual. So any kind of government or any kind of agency that has that kind of role really can't veer too far from the centre, because that's how they keep their jobs and keep getting paid and that kind of stuff. So I think over time we will get, like we have had some government support through some of the CRIs and things like that, and that's been amazing. And I no doubt over time, as we're able to show the successes of what we're doing and the outcomes we're able to measure and quantify the and qualify the outcomes that, that happen from the things that we're doing, that we'll get more and more government support on board. But in the same token, a lot of the issues that we face back home are based upon government dependency. You know, we have a high percentage of unemployed that rely on the handout from weekly benefit payments. So a lot of what we're looking at is how do we put a platform or a learning opportunity for our next generations to be able to not always have the handout to be in existence, but rather the handout for the hand out for a handshake, to looking for those that can support us and the ability for us to stand on our own two feet. So by having, if we were government funded from the outset, that's not developing that intergenerational experience of being able to do stuff for ourselves. So there's a bit of a balance there about what it is that we actually want to show and teach our next generations.
So at the end of February, it came out, or it says that on the website, that the Hikurangi Cannabis Company has signed an agreement with a Seattle-based group or company, Rezo Sciences, for you to produce pharmaceutical-grade cannabis to send to them. Is that correct?
Yes.
What does that mean?
It means that we've got a letter of intent where, upon the regulatory environment allowing us to grow and export either whole leaves or extract, then they will purchase what we're able to grow and export. So yeah, that's one company that we've signed it, and that's worth $160 million or something like that. And so New Zealand's got a really good name for itself throughout the world for horticultural and agricultural products. So there's a lot of people who there's a big demand for the products that we're able to produce, and especially when it has a really good story behind it. So we're not only growing very healthy organic products, but there's also the story behind it of all the goodwill, where it's based around people rather around profit. And there's been a huge global shift towards people wanting to know the story behind the products that they're purchasing, so that has created an opportunity, and that's the way that we are as people. So yeah, so that's one company there, and we're also in negotiations with a handful of others as well, which yeah, could see that that opportunity or that financial opportunity increase a fewfold.
And it is an awesome opportunity in the sense of becoming a go-to, right, in terms of this resource.
What's happened in Northern America is that you've had, when the shift in regulation happened in the state, you had a whole lot of people get on board, and a lot of the little guys have been bought out by investment bankers. And so what you're seeing over there is that big companies are buying out more of the small guys, and then you've got the small guys who are struggling to compete against economies of scale and the money that's been put in by the big guys. So what we're looking at doing is we're collectivising locally. So we're setting up, we'll be doing our capital raise and then setting up shared, essentially the community will own the processing and research and development and all those facilities, so that the community as a whole, small landowners or families, can participate in the industry. But we're also looking to collectivise nationally as well. So we're having those conversations with a number of people, so that we have the economies of scale and we can be a player, if not the player, in the country, and really protect that first mover advantage that we have.
Legally, what does this mean for now, given we're not quite... Is that regulatory framework there yet?
The regulatory framework is being built or is being created at the moment. There is a regulatory framework for what currently exists, which is around hemp, which is a low THC variety of cannabis. And what the government's doing is looking at overseas to regulatory environments in Australia and Canada to build what will be in place here. And so we're looking at we've engaged some experts nationally and internationally to see where the opportunities are to improve the regulatory framework here compared to the ones that have been in place or are being put in place overseas. So essentially we can learn from the mistakes and make it a more favourable environment for New Zealand to A, participate, but B, actually be world leaders in what we do. And we do have that reputation for being able to do that. So, it's an exciting space, but it's also we have an opportunity to do something different and get it right from the start.
Just finally, what are the environmental benefits in terms of investing in something like this?
There's a few things there, like cannabis or the cannabis family is a nitrogen fixer, so it gives to the soil rather than takes away from it. Doesn't need herbicides or pesticides. You don't have to be spraying with chemicals and the likes. So in one space, that's an environmental benefit for it, or it has positive effects on the environment. And the other one is that for us back home, we're a primary producing area of the country. It's like pines and sheep and beef and a little bit of maize. Now, none of those have a very positive effect on the land. And so by moving away from primary production into full value chain from IP, research and development, producing the products, doing all the analytical stuff here in the area, we're able to have a more high value product leaving the area, so we don't have to use the land so intensively. So by investing in what we're doing here, and ourselves investing in what we're doing here, we're able to utilize less land in a more detrimental way. So higher income for a small amount of land means we can look after a bigger proportion of land by either planting it back into natives to let it go back into being native bush. And especially here we have high erosion, so and the steep land, and when that was cleared and stock was put on it, it's literally just washing out the rivers. So we have an opportunity to turn the tide on negative land use options that impact the whenua. Of course, the cannabis is only one of about 10 or a dozen projects that we're doing research into, so cannabis isn't the silver bullet or the silver horse that's going to come and save the day. It's just one option that we're looking at alternative land options that are good for the land and good for the people.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
There's been a lot of... We're about to do our capital raise, and there's been huge interest in that. We've teamed up with PledgeMe to make an offering to locals and supporters around the country. So anyone that is interested in getting a share in the project that we have can go to our website, which is hikaragi.enterprises, and there's an investors page where you can register. We're looking at the capital raise taking place in the beginning of April, and we've made it accessible to everyone, so the minimum will be 50 shares at a dollar each, so people can get involved for $50. So yeah, have a look at the website and sign up to the register, and if you're interested in supporting, we'll be in contact in due course.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.